Blog Talk Radio.
We don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special world that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. Just one word from the Lord will move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Thy wisdom and thy understanding. Though we lack the very love you show in the sun. Lord, we've altered in bad ways, and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord. Speak, Lord. We'll move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give a peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Speak. We need a word from the Lord, a word from the Lord, just one word from the Lord will
Well, good afternoon. Good afternoon. Good Sunday afternoon. Welcome. Welcome back to Seeing Clearly in Dark Times. This is your program host, Brenda K. Sanders. Glad to be back with you this Sunday. And I know this is a Sunday before Christmas Day and all the celebrations that are going on. And I pray that Christ remain in your heart, in the center of your heart, in all you do during this holiday season, and with all the efforts to rid or erase Christ out of the celebration, which we honor every day, as every year as Christmas. You know, I always say this is a motivational outreach program. It is, and it continues to be a motivational outreach program. I want to talk to you today. I want to speak to those that are downtrodden today, those that feel that there is no way out today. There's no answer to to your problems, and you got big problems. There are a lot of us. And one thing I did sense today, that if you feel like you are in a desperate, dark situation, and you're looking in that dark glass, is someone always worse off than you? Not that it helps your situation, but comparatively, it ministers to you that you're more blessed than you think you are. But with this program, my goal as an exhorter is to lift you up, cause you to be motivated to continue on in the things of God, to not turn away when you want to turn away, when you want to say, forget it, I'm done. And then go one more step and say, God is good. He is my provider. He is the one that blesses me. He is the one leading me and guiding me into all truth. The theme scripture for this program is 1 Corinthians 13:12. It says, for now in this time, this is the Amplified version, by the way, I'm back to it. For now in this time of imperfection, we see in a mirror dimly, a blurred reflection, a riddle, an enigma. But then when the time of perfection comes, how many times have I said this? And I'm looking at this scripture again. It seems I have a fresh review of what's going on here. And what it is, when you're in that dark place, you're in a time of imperfection. Uh-oh, anything could happen in that time of imperfection. Mistakes happen in imperfection. People fall in imperfection, in that time of imperfection, because they're not seeing what they're supposed to see. And then people believe that they are the ones that are being victimized by God, but it may be that they have to change something they're doing. So it is a time when imperfection comes, everything looks negative. But he says, then when the time of perfection comes, we see reality face to face. God will show you his will. It is no question. No question. God will show you who he really is. He said face to face. Now, I know in part, just in fragments, but then I will know fully, hallelujah, just as I've been known. And like I always say, we always should express, know the truth from God. God does give us truth. And what we have to do is obey what God says, because that's another time of imperfection. If you don't obey God and you know the will of God, like here with Sarah and Abraham, you know, they knew the will of God, okay, but they didn't really adhere to what God had said. And so they did some other things which caused some kind of negative events to come into their lives. And so my admonition, I guess, would say today, is when you seek out the will of God, when that dark, dim time of imperfection passes and you realize the time of perfection is coming in reality, then we have to then prepare to obey God no matter what. And then so we can get the victory. Here with Sarah and Abraham, they finally, after all the tests, they finally, it seems, at least Abraham at this point, seem to get the message that they are going to have a son, Isaac, from their own flesh. And by the way, I've entitled this broadcast, Abraham the Intercessor. What I want to say here is, after all this testing in Genesis 18, I'm in Genesis 18, and excuse me, my description program today is just not there today, and I'm doing the program from my phone, so it's a little difficult. But what I want to convey today is this. God has a time of perfection, and he will carry out his will. He will execute his will, cause it to be carried out in the proper season, in the proper time. In Genesis 18, God is dealing with Abraham face to face. There is a time when things have to get done face to face. God comes down, visits Abraham. There are two men with him who are really perceived as men, but they're really angels. And I read a commentary that said God is actually right in Abraham's face. And when you read the scriptures in Genesis 18, it does convey that the Lord is right there. And the interesting thing is that we will be groomed to know God when he's present. We will know him. We will identify him. And we will know who we're dealing with. And here with Abraham, he knew God, and he was humble before God. He was sacrificial before God. He was engaging with God as he stood there with the two angels. But they came to investigate something, and that is Sarah's faith now seemed to be shaken. Her faith seemed to be, well, I would say non-existent. She laughed. There's a time when you get so tired, God comes to you and you do laugh or, you know, scoff it off or something, and it's laughable at some point. I don't know if you've ever been there. I have been there. I really have. I have been at the point when God spoke to me, and it was this Ruth where I was just, sometimes I was enraged. Oh, no, that can't be the truth. And so, you know, and then that particular incident, I'm thinking of it, I think it came to pass the next day, but it didn't look like it was going to come to pass. It looked totally, totally just useless to even go that way, situation I'm talking about from a few years ago. But, you know, it does happen. That is what does happen. That's a cycle of patience. And I have to simply get back to that cycle of patience. But what I want to talk about today is God investigated Sarah's faith. He was on the scene, face to face with her, to, you know, engage her, to find out where she was with her faith. And apparently, she was still not convinced that God was going to bless her with a son. But in any event, he did attempt to. And she's a woman. And, you know, women are emotional beings. I tend not to be as emotional as, you know, I see most women being. But this, when women, you have to deal with women. You notice here that God came down on the scene to talk to the woman. Hello, somebody. If you're a man out there, you're married, or you have a girlfriend, whatever, you know, women have to be engaged. It is a time when it's time to talk, you know. And so God came on the scene with Sarah. He spoke to Sarah, but he came a little closer. I don't know. I want to say that Sarah did not have the vision that Abraham had, but she shared the vision. And God saw fit to come on the scene and deal with Sarah, come to that tent and talk to Sarah about her faith. Hallelujah. And so I would say, and I didn't do it in my tags today, but I'm saying it now, that really, if God comes on the scene to talk to a woman about her faith, what do you think you're supposed to be doing, man? God sets an example here. He deals with her gently. She laughed, but the point is that he had to engage the woman to hopefully uplift her faith. He was the exhorter, but he came right there and dealt with her about what was going on and promised her again, next time this year, you're going to be bearing a son. How about that? And it's funny, I'm just now seeing that, so I can't get any too many tags on that in here. But see, you know, it's an instructive passage here about how God deals with relationships. And it's here for a reason. The Bible is here for a reason. It's for correction, instruction. It is for a reason. And Sarah, he did not. And notice he made this promise to her. He made it to her, and he dealt with it no more. However, now, even here with Abraham, he is humble before the Lord. He's humbled himself. And it, like in Genesis 18, too, he says, so he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. See, you will know God when he comes on a scene. It's clear. It will be, I don't know how God, you know, he just, it's an image. It is a, I can't explain it to me. You just know. You know, it's a knowing. It's a presence of the Lord. You will know. He knew who they were. And he said, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. You see what I'm saying? Abraham had failed. He had failed. He had missed God so many times. Finally, God arrives on the scene. And he bows down to God and says, I've missed it, God. I've missed it. And now, please don't pass me by. Don't pass me by. And then he gave an offering to the Lord.
And he says, please let a little water be brought, wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant. They said, do as you have said. And Abram ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. I'm moving on down fast. Then they said to him, where is your Sarah, your wife? So he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, verse 11, now Abram and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. With God, there is no time. He operates in no time. There's no time clock with God. He has all time in his hands. And so it was a difficult thing for her. She's past childbearing, that God was going to cause her to have a son. He was dealing with her emotions. He was dealing with her beliefs and dealing with her own body, looking at her own body, you understand. And so it's more difficult than seeing Abraham. He too had doubt, but, you know, he had reformed himself and decided to believe God and bow down to God and do the right thing. In verse 12, it says, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord also being old also. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? 14, this is a good one. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. This is an important part. This is what I want to say. See, okay, he's dealt with the woman. He did not deal with Sarah like he did Abraham. But he talked to her. He wanted to uplift her spirit, and he pronounced again the prophetic word that she was supposed to have a son. Then God turned away and dealt with Abraham as a visionary, as a person that was going to be the father of nations, and he was about to invoke his role as an intercessor. After God chastises you and me and everybody else, no one is exempt. God then will pronounce or cause you to operate in some of the roles that you're supposed to operate in. It's funny that as intercessors, or may it be, in the fivefold ministry, apostles, teachers, pastors, evangelists, and I'm missing one. That's Ephesians 4:11, fivefold gifts. We can't begin to preach and do anything until we get straight. You understand that? And he had to straighten out Abraham. He had to chastise him, get him to a level spiritually that he wanted him in before he could go and minister to others. And supernaturally, Abraham begins to stand in the gap for those in Sodom that were walking upright before God instantly. But you notice what happened before he stood in that gap. He had to be chastised. He had to be humbled. He had to serve God and know God. God came in his presence, and he had I can't think of the word right now, but it's a word of awesome and reverence to God at that point in his attitude, which was much more humble. After God didn't speak to him for 13 years, he was much more humble. He was determined to serve the Almighty God. Here, then, we start in verse 16 of Genesis 18. The whole thing changes. God wants to use Abram to intercede for Sodom, or the righteous in Sodom. How did he go from being a person expecting a son to being the father of many nations? Well, see, he's going to be a visionary here. He's going to be a leader. And he himself then has to intercede for others. Not only has he abandoned interceding for his own son of his flesh to be born,
he has to intercede for someone else now. And that person, I'm suspecting, is going to be Lot, who was not supposed to be in Sodom anyway. But he went to Sodom, the worst of the worst, to dwell. And now Abraham has to intercede for the righteous there. In verse 18:16, it says, then the men rose from there and looked towards Sodom, and Abram went with them to send them on their way, said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. So see, he's going to be in charge, and he's going to be in charge, and so he, anything you're in charge of, you should be praying for and interceding for. And this is where he has Abram standing in the gap. He's telling them, you're going to all the nations of the earth. He didn't say some. He said, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. In verse 19, he says, for I've known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice. That's a sweet word to my ears, justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know. Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom. But Abraham, before the Lord. You see, Abraham was standing right there in the gap. He didn't move. He didn't follow him down there. He is concerned now about those that are in Sodom and Gomorrah that are about to be destroyed. And he starts to intercede. Why? Because he's a visionary. He is the father of all the nations. All the nations shall be blessed through him. And he has a role as an intercessor. You know, with the leadership roles that God provides to us, we have also the responsibility to pray things through, to intercede, not only to intercede for ourselves, not only for our family, but for nations and for whatever we have been given authority over. God, there's an intercessory component to the vision and to the operation of that vision and the fulfillment of that vision. Well, it's starting right now with Abraham. It's starting right now with Abraham. And now that God has delivered Abraham from, you know, maybe not obeying his will, he's causing him to pray for others. And it says in, verse 23 of Genesis 18, it says, Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? What a grievous thing to think of. When you're doing right, when you adhere to the things of God, and you get destroyed with the wicked, because of the wicked. You know, that is I don't even like to think of it. I've been in situations where I've done right, and I'm somehow in a situation with somebody else, and I have to suffer for somebody else. It is outrageous. I don't know about you. I'm going to be honest. It makes me angry when I've done what I'm supposed to do, and someone else is not doing what they're supposed to do, and I have to be punished along with them. What a grievous situation. So Abram steps up to the Lord. At this point, you notice he has spoken to the Lord in doubt, but now he's speaking to the Lord in the authority of his position as the father of all nations. And he says to the Lord, and Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within us. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? See, he's bowed before the Lord now. He's bowed. He's been tested. He's no longer in doubt. He's accepting his responsibility as a father of many nations and as a visionary. He's acting in his role as the intercessor. Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. In fact, he's now confronting the Lord. He's confronting him and challenging him regarding some of his own ways. One would automatically think that if you were righteous, you would not be destroyed with the wicked. You would not be paired with the wicked and then have to suffer and be condemned as the wicked are condemned. He says, far be from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. For be far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Oh, hello. He's dealing with God now. Come on now. You straightened me out. You straightened my heart out. And now you go and do this very harsh evil. You're about to destroy some righteous people with wicked people. And that's not you, God. So he is under some chastisement and training and testing. You become more bold and bold and bold. And let me tell you, it emboldens you to the point where I think you just don't care about what people think. You're going to do and say what you believe God has called you to do. So, you know, now God looks like he's turning from his own ways and doing something that is unjust. He has just told Abraham that he's going to be a father of justice. And here he is, destroying the wicked, destroying the righteous with the wicked. Well, he stands there. In verse 25, that's a very bold statement. He says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And sometimes in our roles, we have to talk to power. We have to speak to power. When power is inclined to do wrong, we have to have someone standing in that gap to speak the truth to power. Because certainly, if we have to obey, then as an example, you have to obey. And in Abram, standing where he was, the father of many nations, and standing righteously before God, could now say, God, I'm going to stand and confront you about what you're doing, because you have made me righteous, you have made me reverent before you, and I am obeying you now, and I'm going to confront you right now. And that's when it's easy to confront, when you know you have obeyed God, you've done what he told you to do. Then you have a way to stand boldly before God and before men. No question. You have a ministry that comes forth, and then they can respect you when you stand before God righteously, and they don't see sin in you. And God had to respect at that point Abraham. Why? He was standing before him boldly as the father of many nations, acting in his called authority, in his called place to protect. When you're a father, you protect, you chastise, you guard, you challenge. And so who was there? Lot was in Sodom. Lot was in Sodom, and he knew it. Even though Lot was not even supposed to be there, let me tell you. Lot was supposed to be staying home where, Abraham was supposed to leave him back at his home. He was not supposed to be there, but here's another mess that he has to deliver the second time. He had to deliver Lot out of Sodom. He says in verse 26, so the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Verse 27, then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I who am but dust. See, he was humble, even though he was acting boldly, but he humbled himself before the Lord as well with his petition that he deliver the righteous out of Sodom. He says, then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there was 5 less than the 50 righteous, would you destroy all the city for lack of 5? He said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spoke, and I'm going to verse 29, and he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there should be 40 found there. So he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. See, when you're in relationship, any relationship where there's mutual respect, here there's mutual respect now. See, Abraham, in a position of humility, is challenging God about his own words. And God, in respect for Abraham, is honoring his petition. He's standing in the gap, and now he's starting to tell him, I will grant it, if that is the case, in all of these different conditions. As we get down to the bottom, I guess next week I'm going to go into this more. He said, then he said, I'm going back down to 32. He said, then he said, let not the Lord be angry. See, he thought, you know, the Lord can get angry when you're chastised and going through all those circumcisions and all the things, the famine and the war and all of the things that Abraham had endured. He knew the Lord was angry about his obedience. And so I think he perceived that the Lord was angry and about to destroy Sodom. And so he knew he was angry. And so he really humbled himself. He humbled himself before the Lord and with reverence sought God to not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah with the righteous dwelling therein. This last verse, it says, then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak, but once more, suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy for the sake of 10. Verse 33, so the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Amen. So you see here, Abram wasn't in Sodom and Gomorrah. He was, though, pleading for those that were in Sodom and Gomorrah. It's evidence here that he was an intercessor. He interceded for those in Sodom and Gomorrah. God said he would honor him, even though God was very angry. And Abraham knew that God could get angry and do some stuff now. That covenant of circumcision, that got me. I said, oh, my goodness. And so the message here is that we should adhere to God's word. He is a God that does chastise. And so when we humble ourselves and determine to be obedient to the Lord, we may be called, even though we're called to be great visionaries, the father and mother of nations, leaders, we have to humble ourselves still and pursue God with a spirit of humbleness and with obedience. Because there are others out there in trouble. And God, when he gets angry, he pronounces judgment. And so we are able, when we're righteous before God, to hopefully forestall that judgment, forestall it, and then have the victory. Amen. Well, that's all I'm going to say today. Maybe I'll come back here next week because I'm a little under the weather today. I'd like to certainly explore the last part of Genesis 18 again to just highlight how the transformation from Abram to Abraham was taking place and evidenced and manifested when he called him to pray, or when Abram sought to pray for Sodom and Gomorrah. This is a very grave situation. There have been outcries, and God has used Abraham to pray for those that are dwelling there that are righteous. All right. Well, thank you for listening to the program. I certainly hope that you have gleaned something from the Word of God. You may go to the link at blogtalkradio.com/Brenda K. Sanders if you wish to listen to this episode or any other episode listed there on the show page. You may email me at seeingclearlyinthedark@gmail.com. If you have a prayer request, if you have information, if you're praying for God to give you a prophetic word, I will certainly be glad to do so and communicate with you in that fashion. Well, thanks again for listening. Have a very, very, very blessed Sunday afternoon.
I'm blessed in the morning. I'm blessed throughout the evening. And anytime I pray, a well of joy springing up inside, water of new life, that's Christ. Oh, in my spirit, way down in my spirit, say in my spirit, Jesus is Lord. Can't receive. my species, to hear him when he calls, to see him when he comes again. Glory, if ever God.